So as I was getting ready for this morning, one of the things my wife, before the technology of all the, well, technology and all the digital stuff, used to make, you know, photo albums and stuff like that. So I was flipping through some photo albums and I was thinking about, man, these, you're more than welcome to take a look at this after service. These are a little bit almost embarrassing because there's some old pictures of us. So even before when we were just, Angela and I were just dating, and there's all kinds of pictures of here I am on ship, and I was about ready to go on deployment, and she was sending me off, and there's pictures of us when we first got married, and I looked quite a bit different in many ways. The effects of gravity hadn't taken its full effect like it has now, and my hair was a lot darker back then, not so gray, thanks to children and things. And so, but there's a whole lot of people in here as well. We have our showers and pictures of going to the Grand Canyon with friends, and our time in New Zealand when we lived in New Zealand as a youth pastor for a while, and just all kinds of different pictures in here. And this has a, as I'm going through, I'm like, this has so much meaning to me. It is one of our precious books that for us as a family and as a couple, we just look at and go, wow, wasn't God good? Now, I recognize if you go through here, you'll go through and you'll be like, oh, that's funny. Look at Pastor John. Angela doesn't look any different, but wow, Pastor John certainly has changed, and you'll be looking through, and that'll be kind of funny, but you'll see a whole lot of people in here that you have no idea who they are. It doesn't mean a whole lot to you. You'll be very courteous. You'll be very nice, I think, right here. I'm trying to tell you how to, you'll nod, you'll smile, and go, oh, that's so nice. Yeah, but it's, to be honest, it's not going to mean a lot to you. It's going to mean a whole lot to us, though. Because I know who these people are, and I know their faces, and for the most part, I know who all these people are. Sometimes Angela has to remind me a little bit, because I'm like, man, who's this? She's like, oh, that's, and I forget. But going through here reminds me of our journey that we've had for 24 years now. And we've been going through this journey together, and there's a whole lot that has taken place and transpired over that time that I forget about things. There's been a whole lot of just ordinary days in here. A whole lot of things that I forget about. And there's also great reminders about God's faithfulness and what God's done in our lives over the years and where he's brought us and what he's brought us through. And there's a whole lot that comes out of that. And the reason why I share that is because it's a great reminder about where we're heading this morning out of Numbers 13, Numbers 33. Out of Numbers 33, there's a whole chapter of kind of going through a photo album. We're going to be going through and looking at different places that where the Israelites were, and it's probably not going to mean a whole lot to you. Didn't mean a whole lot to me either. But we're going to see a whole lot out of this, as we have seen in the number of weeks that we've been going through the book of Numbers. So in the study of Numbers, Old Testament, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fourth book of the Bible. We're in Numbers 33 is where we're going to conclude this morning. And we've been there for the summer and been studying through that. And it's been a great study. I love the Old Testament. Much to the chagrin of some who think that we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. There's some evangelical leaders today who are like, you know, we need to unhitch from the Old Testament because, well, it's the Old Testament, and it's really, we just need the New Testament. And I'm like, well, there's huge problems with that. One, God's given us his whole word. And have we not learned so much out of the 15th week today on going through the book of Numbers? Have we not learned so much about who God is, about God's justice, God's mercy, God's kindness, his faithfulness? Have we not learned so much about ourselves and about sin and about how to be right with God? Have we not learned so much about God out of this Old Testament book? Now, we need God's word. Besides the fact that Jesus quoted the Old Testament numerous times, and he talked about the fact that if you want to know about Jesus, you need to know the Old Testament because it all points towards Jesus. So why in the world would we throw out the Old Testament? That's terrible theology, but that's for a different, probably next series. Open up in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers 33. And as you turn there, again, this chapter is, if you've been reading through the Bible, this is not one of those chapters that is probably well marked in your Bibles or marked at all. This is one of those areas, and if you read ahead and you're looking at it, you're like, why in the world are we stopping here? This is the our final part of the book of Numbers. And follow along with me. Here's Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 and 2. These are the stages of the people of Israel when they went out of the land of Egypt by their companies under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Moses wrote down their starting places, stage by stage, by command of the Lord. These are their stages according to their starting places. So remember, God's people were rescued out of slavery for 400 years in the nation of Egypt. God rescued them out of slavery to bring them to the promise, the land of Israel, which was promised to them hundreds of years earlier. And now God's going to take them, using Moses as the key leader, to lead them out of slavery in Egypt and take them to the promised land. What should be just a couple of weeks travel time takes, just roughly 40 years. Things don't go so well in a place like Kadesh Barnea when they were supposed to be going into the promised land, send out spies into the promised land, right? They came back and they're like, the land's great, but there's no way we can take it. There's full of giants and we can't take the land. They completely disobeyed God. So the punishment, the consequence of that was, well, fine, that whole generation that didn't trust God won't go into the promised land. So they travel around in the wilderness for 40 years time. All of that generation passes away, a whole new generation has risen up, and now they're on the brink of going into the promised land. So that's the background going on here. And so that's the reminder. They're going to be, Moses was to write down where they start in each of the places that they went and stopped and they traveled through. So stick with me as we kind of quickly skim through here a number of these verses. So there's this long list of where the Israelites traveled. Look at verse 5. So the people of Israel set out from Ramses and camped at Succoth. And they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. And then they set out from Etham. They turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which is east of Baal-Zephon. And they camped at Migdol. Are you excited yet? Are you looking at it? You're like, man, this is going to be... By the way, the whole chapter is... This is exciting stuff if you're an Israelite there. Remember the photo album? Talking through the photo, I'm like, man, this means a whole lot to me. Oh, I remember this place. I remember this place. Oh, I remember these people. That's what's going on here. Each of these names, you go, it's a snapshot. It's a picture for the Israelites. You go, I remember that. Remember that? I remember that. So they're going on. They're moving through. Jump down to verse 13. Verse 13, and they set out from Dophkah and camped at Elush. And they set out from Elush and camped at Rephidim. And then there was no water for the people to drink. Sounds like a bad news. And then they set out from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. And then they set out from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hattaava. The reason why I mention all these is because I want my seminary degree to pay off of learning all the languages. And so they travel through. We're following them place by place, name after name, from the next place to the next place, then to the next place. Verses 38 through 39 tell of Aaron's passing. Aaron, one of the key leaders, and how he went and when he died. And then the people continue to travel and follow after God. And then verses 40 through 49 talk about the continuation of all of that. And one name after another after another. And like I said, it's probably not a whole lot of markings in your Bible under Numbers chapter 33. It's one of those places that when you're reading through, if you're doing the Bible reading plan with us, there's a couple of times that you have this tendency, this urge, if you will, to skim. Like, okay, next chapter 34, and you kind of move on, right? Am I the only one that feels that way? I feel that. And you're like, and if you're doing the Bible reading plan, you're like, just this past week, we're going in 1 Chronicles. And they said, read from 1 Chronicles chapter 1 to chapter 9 or chapter 10. You can skim through. And you're like, yes. Because all these names, and sometimes we come across all these names, and you're like, what in the world? What? And now we're going to do a whole sermon, a whole message on chapter 33. Yes, why? What's here? There's 42 encampments, 42 places where they camped out before they moved on that are mentioned here. Not all the places are, in fact, are actually mentioned. There's a number of places that were skipped out, but there's 42 places where they camped before they moved on. If you look closely into this chapter and you look at these places, at the journey that God's people took, the Israelites took, it took them 40 years to travel through all of these different places. And as you're looking through, you would even find that even the scholars agree that there's a number of these places, we have no idea where they are. They're lost in time. The sands of time have passed, and we don't even know where they are. Weather-worn tombstones. You know, you go to old tombstones, you try to read those, and you try to make it out, but the wind and everything and rain has taken its effect on it. It's hard to read. That's like many of these places here in Numbers 33. Like, I don't know where that is. I don't know anything about Dofka. Where is that? Or Alush? Where is that? Reminds me of James chapter 4 that says that that we are like a mist that appears for a little while, then gone. This was here. This was important to the people then, and then it moved on. Other places here in Numbers 33, they call to mind, though, God's faithfulness. The reminders that God was faithful to the people. That's going to be important. We'll come back to that as well. And then there's other places here if you were to be looking at the names. If you've been studying through with Numbers, there may be a couple of names that will come up, like Kadesh Barnea, Kadesh, that will remind you of when God's people sinned greatly, when they completely rebelled against God. Interesting, that's not mentioned here at all. Why Numbers 33 is because three things that I want us to look at this morning that are hugely important from here. And I think it's a great picture of the book of Numbers. In fact, to wrap up the whole book of Numbers, three categories. One, much of life is ordinary. So first, we'll look at the ordinariness of life. Two, we'll look at the faithfulness of God. And that's hugely important for all of you who are struggling this morning. You're going through all kinds of different things. You want to be reminded about God's faithfulness. We'll see that from here. And third, God's forgetfulness is really important here. So let's unpack here. The first point here is that I think, just briefly, as we're looking through it, as I talked about, I mean, number of these places, we don't even know where they are. But they were important to God's people here. It doesn't make them any less important necessarily, but number of these places, I'm not sure where they are, but they were important to what God was doing in their lives at the time. it's a great reminder that much of life is ordinary. Mundane, would I dare to say. Sometimes it's just downright boring. There's a whole lot that goes on in life that is not so postable. I know we try. You know, even like Jeremy mentioned earlier, we take pictures of the beach and stuff. We put the filters on that. And we're like, oh, wow, look at them. That's so great. Not everything's real postable. There's a whole lot that goes on that just is not that exciting. There's a lot of traveling in the desert for 40 years that, quite frankly, there just wasn't much to write about. Just like for our lives, it doesn't mean it's not important, but it just means that it's part of the journey that God has us on that's important to what God is doing at the time in your life. It's another meal, just not all that exciting always. It's another dirty diaper. It's another day at work. It's another day of just going to the store. It's another bill to pay. It's another service. It's more yard work. Ordinary. Mundane. Not less important. Don't miss that God is at work in each of these locations. God is at work with his people. But frankly, we put a lot of pressure on our lives today for everything to be epic. It's got to be great. We put a whole lot of pressure on ourselves that things can't be ordinary. We spend a lot of time on our phones and look at something. We're like, wow, man, I wish I had that. And we start comparing ourselves and start thinking like, man, my life just like, man, I'm going to just more homework, more stuff, more another job, just another bill, just another, it's just not all that exciting. But it's really important. But it doesn't have to be epic. It doesn't have to be like, this is the most amazing day. Man, it's tiring. It's hard to keep up with that because it's just, in our culture, boredom has become the death nail of us, right? Like, guard against all boredom. So we watch Netflix so far until it starts asking us, are you still here? Yeah, I'm still here. I got hours to go, absolutely. We have more and more YouTube. We just let it just keep on going, keep on rolling. Oh, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. We fill ourselves because we greatly fear being bored. It's ordinary. Life is ordinary. And the reality is, right? I mean, we all know this. The reality is just much of life is just not all that exciting. But God's at work. We'll see that here. But I want to caution us and remind us from here and even many of these places, these snapshots, we maybe have forgotten these were day in, day out kind of stuff. Just like you and me, we go through day in, day out kind of stuff. Guard against trying to overly entertain ourselves or overly entertain your child so that they're always happy. That is exhausting. Or try to entertain yourself to death. In fact, let Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 be your guide. Take a look at this. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, in everything, do it all for the glory of God. Everything that we do. Set God as your priority. Seek the kingdom of God first, right? It's Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God. When you put God first, by the way, here's a good way to evaluate this for your own life. Are you putting God first? Are you making time for God, or are you just trying to fit him into the cracks? Do you make time for God, or do you just try to hope that he just kind of, it'll just kind of work out? I'm going to spend time in God's word. I'm sure it'll work out sometime today. Or do you make time for that? Set time aside. Not just try to fit him into your time. The reality is you won't. Each day that God gives is a day for following him. That's one step at a time. One step at a time. To walk with him. So hidden here, I believe in Numbers 33, is a life that in many ways is ordinary, but still in the hands of God. God is still at work, and we're to follow him through each and every day. The second lesson, and maybe this is the most important out of Numbers 33, is that God is faithful. God's faithful. You see, as we're reading through and you look at each of these places, you see that this is a testimony that God was with his people. God was with Moses throughout his lifetime. God was here. God is in the midst. God is at work. God was here. He was providing for them. God always provided. And it's a beautiful record, a reminder of God's faithfulness. God never abandoned his people. Out of all of this, God never abandoned them. There wasn't one location here where they're like, oh, we're completely on our own here. Hopefully we'll get to the next place and then we'll catch up with God there. God was faithful. In spite of their unfaithfulness, God was still faithful. That's part of the faithfulness of God, the promises of God. So to me, as I'm reading through and as I'm looking at this, each of these places are a shadow of reminder of God's provision for his people. You know, God provided for his people in here. Deuteronomy, listen to this, Deuteronomy 29:5 says, I have led you, God said, for 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. 40 years, God provided for them. Now, that is a great pair of shoes, by the way, and clothes. God provided all of their needs. For 40 years, God provided all the food they needed, all the water they needed, all of the clothing they needed, all of those. God provided all of those for 40 years. And this, look at this record here. This is a reminder of God's faithfulness. So if you dig a little bit here, it reveals that God is faithful. And do you know what that means? God is faithful. Here's what this means, and don't miss this. Listen carefully. God led his people in the past, and he will lead them in the future. This is a testimony, a reminder that God had led them every single step along the way. He was faithful in the past, and he will be faithful in the future. That is critically important for us, church. How quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. And Heather even just shared that earlier, right? When we went to sing that new song, Yes, I Will. We quickly forget how faithful God is. But God is faithful. It's good to review our past sometimes and discern the hand of God that has been working our lives. Don't you need that reminder in your own life? I need that. And quickly move on to the next thing and fretting about whether this is going to work out or how is this going to happen or where's God? What's he going to do? What's going to happen? We can quickly move on and then forget his provision. We forget God's care. We forget God's answered prayers. We sang it right before the message, 10,000 Reasons, right? Matt Redman, who writes this song, 10,000 Reasons. Reminder of how many times God has been faithful. 10,000 Reasons and counting. Over and over and over again, God is faithful. By the way, faithfulness. When we say, well, God is faithful. Here's a character trait of God. God is faithful. What does that mean? Faithfulness means this, that God is reliable. God will fulfill his promises, every single one of them. God is reliable. He's trustworthy. He will never fail on a promise that he's ever given. He will always do what he's promised to do. It means we can totally, completely trust him. He is faithful. Our God is faithful. You can hold on to him. You can bank on it. He will fulfill his promises. He's reliable. That's the character of God. It's who he is. He can't change who he is. He's not one thing here and another thing here. He's faithful. It's his character. He will fulfill his promises. So this is just a great reminder, church. This chapter, as I go through and you look at these names, and 42 of the names, you just go through over and over and over. God's faithfulness. God was faithful here. He provided for them here. He worked here. He was faithful. And so let this passage build your faith. Let it be a reminder to you that God was faithful in the past and he will be faithful in the future because it's who he is. So those of you going through some unknowns right now, there's some things you're like, I am not sure what's going to happen tomorrow here. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a fear going into school, or there's fear of some jobs coming up, or there's fear of going to the doctors, or there's some fear of some family stuff going on, and you're not sure. Can I trust God? Look back at the past, because he is faithful and you can trust him. You can call upon him and he will answer. God moves. God is at work. He's reliable. You can trust him. Let this build your faith for your future tomorrow. He's good. He will work. I love this. I love the reminders. I need those. Finally, one, much of life is ordinary, just as God intends, but we walk in him. Two, God is faithful. He's reliable. He's faithful. And three, God is also, I'm reminded out of this, that he's the God who forgets. And I put this in quotes because obviously God doesn't forget. He's God. He's sovereign. He remembers it all. He knows it all from beginning to end. He knows everything. There isn't anything that passes by, that goes on in life, and he's like, oh, man, I didn't know about that. Whew. Glad that one worked out. One of the angels caught that? Oh, good job. I was really busy over here, and that was just too small for me. I just couldn't be bothered. No. Nothing happens that doesn't pass through his hands first. God's sovereign over it all. So God doesn't forget. We get that. But do you know what that means? That God forgets? It's as though he doesn't hold it against us. Here's what I mean. In this list here of these 42 names, there's a number of them that, of this group that includes names like Mara, the Desert of Sin, Rephidim, Kibroth Hattaavah, Kadesh Barnea. Each of those places are reminders of places where they completely rebelled against God. That God's people were like, thank you very much, I'm going to do my own thing. Why don't you just wait here, God? I'll be back if I need you. Boop, and they go and do their own thing. If you knew those stories, you would remember those, and you're like, man, that was not a good place. A whole lot of sin, a whole lot of rebellion that took place. But here's what's strange to me. In the naming of each of those places, there's no footnote. There's no little extra piece in here that says, you remember this place, right, guys? This is the place where you completely rebelled against God. Remember that? Do you remember what Moses, when you struck the rock, completely rebelled against me? Yeah, I remember that too. So let's put that down. No, there's none of that here. There's none of that, reminders of their sin. Their sin passes in complete and total silence over Israel's history here. It's as though God has forgotten. And obviously we know that he hasn't forgotten. If there's anything we've learned out of our study out of the book of Numbers, that God, sin matters. Sin matters to God. We know that, but here in this account, there's been woeful sin. They're grumbling over and over and over. How many times do we talk about grumbling through the book of Numbers? How many times there was an outright rebellion did we see that there was just flat-out idolatry? And the people repeatedly went after their own way instead of God's way. But there's no mention of that here in chapter 33. Think about your own life for a moment. Think about your life and the sin, the woeful sin of going after your own way when you've just stiff-armed God. You're like, I'm going to do my way, my thing, my way, my time. And if I need you, God, I'll let you know. And you just walk and go and do your own thing. Every one of us has a list. We can think of all the different times and places. And as we think of those things, there may be a whole lot of shame, a whole lot of guilt. There's been some consequences that you've experienced. As you start thinking about some of those deep sins, there may be a whole lot of pain that comes out in that. A lot of embarrassment. And honestly, right, it could just be pretty overwhelming. Isn't this a reminder, church, that God isn't looking and waiting for us to fail and then, bam, like a smash, just like a bug. God is not looking to just waiting for you to make that mistake and then he's just going to get you. That's a great reminder that God is faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. I mean, who could survive if that's what God was doing? Not a one of us. Not a one of us. But quite contrary is this great hope of the truth of the gospel. In Psalm 118, verse 5, it says, out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. It's the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. It's His mercy, His grace to all who call on Him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, for if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. For the old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation in Christ. So it's who you are. It's your identity. I know there's a whole lot of identity questions today, and we try to make our identity based on my gender or my fluidity in that, or based on my sexuality, and this is my identity, or my identity is my work, or my identity is my position that I have, or my identity is this, or this. No, our identity, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your identity is in Jesus Christ. Your identity is that you are a Christian. You are a child of God. That's your identity. And when you became a child of God, everything changed from that moment on. You are in Christ. For the Spirit of God has come in and indwelled you. You are now empowered by the Spirit of God. You are a child of God. Everything changes. And it's as though God has completely forgotten your sin. How can that be? Because in Christ, our sin was all of your sin, think about it, all of your sin, past, present, future, has been taken and was nailed to the cross by Jesus. The penalty of your sin, of my sin, was taken on Jesus at the cross. He paid the penalty. That's the gospel. And when that happened at the cross, it's as though God has forgotten that forever. How much so? Psalm chapter 103, verses 7 through 13. Take a look at these verses. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Did you catch this? Look at the character of God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. He hasn't done that. Look at this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. How far is that? We're not talking about like, oh, the clouds. Keeps going. For forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithfulness. So great is God's faithfulness towards those who fear him. How great is God's love for you, for those of you who walk in him, who love him, who have been filled by him, who have turned to him. That's an amazing truth. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That goes on forever. You keep going east, you'll never start going west unless you turned around. You'll keep going east. If you go west, same thing. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Remember the faithful God we talked about? The faithful God, that's the same God. He's faithful to do what he has said and what he has promised. That's who he is. It's his character. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our sin. I love how Corey Ten Boom said it. God takes our sins, the past, present, and future, and dumps them in the sea and puts up a sign that reads, "No fishing allowed." I love that. How gratifying that as we read through here and reminded that he remembers no more. To all who have been set free by Christ, to all who have trusted in Jesus, that's remarkable what he's done. He has forgotten our sins. To all who are in Christ, you have been justified. Justified, declared righteous by God. Your sins paid for in full. Not a one of his children have been passed over in that. So just in case there's some of you who are here, you're like, yeah, everybody but. My sins. Oh, Pastor John, if you knew my sins, you wouldn't say that. You guys would kick me out of here so fast if you knew the sin that I was been involved in. Your sin is, you can't out-sin God's grace. You can't out-sin God's forgiveness. You can't out-sin God's mercy. He hasn't passed over any one of you to any one of us who have called upon him and trust in him. Every single one of us. Jesus took all of our sins, past, present, future sins, and nailed them to the cross. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And when you were dead in your trespasses, when you were dead, so your past before turning to Christ, you were dead in your sins. When you were dead in your sins, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. This is what took place when Jesus went to the cross for our sins. All of our sins, our spiritual bankruptcy, the legal binding that you were spiritually bankrupt because of your sin, he took it and tore it up and nailed it to the cross, paid for in full. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. That's God's faithfulness. That's God's goodness. That's who he is. That's God's forgetfulness. Paid for in full. So as I'm reading through Numbers 33, they're a beautiful reminder to me of God's faithfulness, of God's forgetfulness. And even the ordinariness of our days are all ordained by God. They're all brought about by God, days that I can glorify him and say, God, thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. These are hope-filled reminders. This is a beautiful reminder throughout the book of Numbers that God is with us and will never fail us. That God is for us. That God cares about you and your situation, your world, and what you're struggling with. God cares. God knows. There isn't anything that goes on that he's forgotten about. God cares about your situation. This is the God that, because of that and because of who he is and what he's done, this is the God we worship. This is the God that we follow. This is the God that out of that I just go, why would I not want to worship him? Why would I not want to obey him and follow him? Because I want to be a doer of the word, because, oh, the word is sweet because of what Jesus has done. Oh, what a testimony we have here in front of you and your laps of God's goodness and his faithfulness, his forgetfulness. Some obscure passage here is a great reminder of who God is and what he has done and what he will do. Would you pray with me? God, we often come to this place to pray at the end of diving into your word because, God, we need you. This is a beautiful reminder of your faithfulness, of our sin that has been nailed to the cross. God, this is all pointing to who you are and what you have done. Lord, I pray that you would meet those here who are really struggling right now. Lord, there's a number of unknowns and there's a number of fears. And I pray for those people specifically that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that they would put their trust in you. That no matter what happens tomorrow, what happens this week, you are still faithful. You never change. You are still good. You will still answer. May we be a church that is firmly rooted and grounded upon who you are. Though the storms may blow and the floodwaters come, you are still faithful and we can trust you. May we be a church that turns readily, quickly to you, that seeks forgiveness for where sin has entangled us. May we be quick to fix our eyes on you. God, thank you again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name.